Welcome back into the Auburn Daily Show. I am Harrison Tarr of the Auburn Daily, joined today by Dylan Lark, also conveniently of the Auburn Daily. Dylan, how are we doing today, man?
I'm doing good. I woke up about an hour and a half ago, and I'm ready to talk about some Auburn basketball.
Dylan's been sleeping on the job over here. Not actually. He's gotten some good rest. I know we've been putting each other to work over the past week. It's been very busy between football and basketball. And today, Dylan, we get the opportunity to just talk hoops. And we've not had this opportunity in a while. I'm very excited about it, to be able to just sit down and talk Auburn basketball coming off the heels of an important win over Ole Miss on the road, 82-73 in Auburn's favor. And I wanted us to break down from a fundamental standpoint, I guess, for lack of a better term, an article is written on the Auburn Daily by Jeremy Roebuck, takeaways from Auburn basketball's 82-73 win versus Ole Miss. We'll link that in the description, I'm sure. I trust that Dylan has that on lock. But I thought Jeremy brought up some good points. And I was curious, before we jump into it, Dylan, where you want to start here, because I think there's three big storylines that we talked about before we jumped on air. I think there's a couple other storylines we'll probably want to touch base on when we go to wrap this thing up. So floor is yours, Mr. Lark.
Yeah, I think we need to start off chronologically how it is in the article. If you look at Auburn, they look way more confident as a team looking at last night. They shot 49% from the field, which is pretty good that half of your shots are going in the bucket. And I feel like that's something that we've not seen very much from this team, and especially from the three-point line. I mean, we shot 4-14, but 14 three-pointers after two games where we shot 28 and 21, I think that they're showing a little bit more restraint shooting the three. I know that a few other guys on the team have some troubles doing that, but they were able to tighten it down and stop shooting if they aren't feeling it tonight. So, I mean, it really helps when 49% of your shots are going in.
It certainly doesn't hurt, Dylan. I think to Jeremy's point, the bullet point here is they're playing better as a team, right? And that all is all encompassing, whether that be the free throw improvement is out of this world, by the way. I'd love for you to, if you could spit those numbers at me here in a second, just to tell me where they're at as a team right now, because visibly they're just better at the free throw line than they have been to this point. But gelling as a team, I guess, is probably the right way to put this, because guys are kind of realizing, you know, and we've talked about this before, Dylan, on the college loop a good bit, and we've talked about this with everyone that's willing to listen as we scream into the abyss. At some point, this team's got to look and say, this is what we got. And it kind of does feel like Auburn's there. And that's not a bad thing. I think actually once they realize that these are the pieces that they have, you can't sit around and wait for other pieces to surface. I think they got better. Because when you look at it, Wendell Green, we know he's probably, it's between him and Jahni Broome for MVP on this team, right?
Yes.
Most valuable player on a routine nightly basis. The resurgence of Alan Flanagan, and I know we're going to get to that here in just a moment, has been tremendous, but it's kind of come on the heels of Wendell Green, Jahni Broome, and Jalen Williams saying, you know, this is what we have, and being very, very consistent. And then you have the emergence out of seemingly nowhere of Zeb Jasper over the course of the past couple games, which I know his numbers have not been flashy, they've not been crazy, but Zeb looks not completely lost anymore from range. He looks like he's confident in shooting the ball. And for whatever reason, when he's got that kind of confidence in his stroke, it also feels like it's reflecting on the defensive end of the floor, and he's kind of not all over the place. He's more locked in. We know he's a lockdown defender, but I think that it's kind of been building off one another. Last night, you even saw Johan Traor get into it, get involved a little bit, not a ton, but more than we've seen thus far in SEC play. So I'm curious your thoughts on how them gelling as a team has really improved them altogether, Dylan.
Yeah, Auburn looks like a completely different team than they did 3 weeks ago against Georgia. This team looks like they want to play as a unit. And you brought up how Johan has probably, besides Alan Flanagan, of course, has been one of the more improved players this season, just because he went from not having barely any minutes to being able to get back into the swing of things. He was a very highly touted guy, so they do want him playing. There's a reason we got him. So it's nice to see him back on the court playing, and hopefully I don't say hopefully he gets more minutes, but hopefully he does continue to improve to the fact where we can have a more reliable players off the bench. Because after Alan Flanagan, not a lot of consistent scoring from the bench players.
Yeah, I think that kind of builds onto a lot of people. We talk a lot about Dylan Cardwell. People give me a lot of smoke for my thoughts on Dylan Cardwell. I think I've always been very brutally honest about him. His presence last night, he decided he could fly, which was remarkable. And if that dunk was in, if that would have been in the jungle, the roof would have gone off the place. But Dylan's pretty much beyond Flanagan has been the source of points off the bench, because when you talk about it all the time, you say this routinely: put KD Johnson in a straitjacket. I will mention this, and this popped up on my Twitter thread last night. I'm not entirely sure who said it. The layup that he had, the pretty much semi-contested but widely open layup that he had late in the second half, might have been the most tremendous bucket he's had in a while, because oh my god, does the guy need to see the ball go through the hoop.
Looking at KD's stats from last night, he only shot six times and he made two of them. Neither one from, but he only shot 1 3, which I think is probably his season low. I don't have those stats in front of me. I kind of want to go see him. But I mean, I think it was last week against South Carolina. Was it South Carolina we played last? No, it was who did we play last?
Last week, Georgia.
Georgia. Was it Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia was last Wednesday.
I'm trying to remember that there was a game where he shot like he had four shots from the three and he didn't make a single one of them. And so it's nice to see him kind of slow his roll a little bit. KD is going to be those kind of guys that are going to mostly score from layups and attempted dunks. He's like a Russell Westbrook-esque type player. You don't want him really shooting from beyond the arch, but if he can drive in, you'll know he'll get those foul calls and he can get those circus shots really commonly.
Yeah, frequently, more so than not. He's just there's some kind of funk that KD's been in since kind of the beginning of this year, and you keep waiting for him to shake it off. And I think the rest of the guys on the team are kind of at the point where it's like, we got to play our game. If KD shakes it off, great, but we got to play our game. And to that point, if you look at the box from last night, dude, I mean, there's no secret. Wendell Green Jr., 23 points. Jani Broome, 19 points. Alan Flanagan, 15. And, of course, Jalen Williams with 12. I mean, there's three of those four guys have been night in, night out, your scores. Let's transition for a second here and talk about that fourth guy. Let's talk about Alan Flanagan. And after Flan, I know that you have something to share with everyone else, I'm sure. Alan Flanagan's resurgence in the past three games, three straight games of double-digit scoring. Dylan, how big is this? And I don't know if we're ready to say that Alan Flanagan's back. I don't think I'm ready to be there yet. But how big is this if Auburn wants to continue to contend?
It's huge. I mean, I think outside of Wendell Green, when they're playing consistently, Alan Flanagan is probably Auburn's second best three-point shooter. And from a team that has gotten most of their success throughout in the past from being able to shoot beyond the arc, I think getting Alan Flanagan back in on a hot streak is outstanding for this team. And like you said, this third game in a row where he's going to be where he has had double digit points, and I think that's outstanding, because like we could not have expected this last year. I didn't expect it to happen this year. I mean, I don't want to say I thought he was a little overrated, but I mean, I wasn't buying into the hype. It's just my duty as an Auburn fan to kind of reject hype towards a player before a season starts. But yeah, I mean, getting into the SEC part of the season, and I don't think he really had those double-digit games in the non-con, but having this resurgence out of him during the SEC conference schedule is huge for this team. And I don't think... Hopefully it doesn't end anytime soon, but I'm really loving how Alan Flanagan has been playing as of late.
And what's bizarre to me is Alan Flanagan is quietly, we just mentioned the, you know, three straight games and double figures, but he's quietly climbed himself up to an 8.6 points a game average. And that is just hard for me to wrap my brain around, because not even 2.5 weeks ago, Dylan, you and I were talking about it may be time to restrict minutes for Alan Flanagan. It may be time to shut it down and say, you know what, this is just not it. You know, we appreciate what you've done. And all he has done is just hit a 180. And it looks, and the broadcast last night, the ESPN broadcast mentioned going into contested drives and going into those contested looks. Unlike last year where he looked a little afraid, this year he looks 100% healthy and like he's just either going to get hacked on the way up there or he's going to take it to the rim. And that's huge for Auburn going forward because you got a rough slate ahead of you. And with that being said, Dylan, you know, Auburn's got a long slate of games ahead of them. There's a lot of key players. We're going to talk more about Wendell Green, Jani Broome on the other side of this here in just a second. But you know some what you can use to keep an eye on these folks, Dylan. Do you know?
I believe Prize Picks.
One could say that the best option is Prize Picks, and I'm gonna try an ad read for the first time ever. Dylan, is that okay? We're gonna try it.
Yeah, go for it.
Dylan's gonna give me a grade at the end of this. We're talking about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. Predict the over/under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3. And you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. Best of all, use promo code Auburn, that's AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code AUBURN, Auburn, for double your first deposit. So that's the word, good word from over our friends over at Prize Picks. How to do, Dylan? Scale from 1 to 10.
I'll give it like an A as in AUBURN, where you
promo code to double your first.
Exactly. That's right. I got to give you for the Freeze app.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of Hugh Freeze going on here as of lately. It's kind of running my mind. Are there any lines that you like a lot, Dylan? Namely, would you take Alan Flanagan over on Saturday against Mississippi State?
You know what? I like his trajectory he's got going on. I like Alan Flanagan double-digit points again. Or like give me a Jani Broome double-double.
Yeah, it seems like he's a machine now. Actually, great segue. I'm going to let you kind of open the floor for Jani Broome if you're willing to talk about. I know you love you some Jani.
I do love Jani Broome because he's playing a lot like another guy I used to love on this team, Simeon Bowers, who before everyone was watching Bryce Brown and Jared Harper just light it up from the three, Simeon Bowers was Auburn's entire team for a good minute. And whenever I was just a little baby Auburn basketball fan, Simeon Bowers gave me a lot of happiness and joy, even when Auburn basketball was not all that great. But yeah, 4 double-doubles in a row for Jani Broome. And last night he had 19 points and 11 rebounds. I mean, he even threw in some assists in there. Maybe he can run the court as well as Wendell Green. But
people are saying
he's actually our center guard. Point center, actually. But yeah, it's just outstanding performance for Jani Broome. This is something we're expecting to see night in and night out. I can't remember the last time I've sat down and been like, "Yeah, Jani Broome didn't really play up to par." I don't know if I've ever experienced.
Probably USC.
Well, the entire team had a bad night that night, so I'm just him. Just where I can just point him out out of everybody else. There's not a game where I can because I'm like, "Oh well, no one's playing well." But I think the key to Auburn right now is if Jani Broome is playing well, Auburn's going to be playing well. And I mean, I don't remember the last time Auburn had a very explosive big man right there at the five.
Right. Me either. My memory doesn't extend back to last year. To your point about Jani, just to build off that before we go talk about Icy Win, Logo Win, Wendell Junior, whatever you want, WGJ, whatever you call him. The importance of Jani Broome cannot be overstated in this league. And when you look at, we talked a little bit a minute ago about Dylan Cardwell and his minutes off the bench and really enlarge a defensive presence. Jani Broome is now playing at that level that we all kind of thought Jani Broome could play at, that we saw him play at Morehead State, that we knew was going to be an opportunity to dominate in SEC conference play, for that matter. And for Auburn to have success, let's face it, we talked about it earlier, Dylan, this is not a great shooting team. They're going to have to get in low. They're going to have to feed Jani. And I thought that out of everybody on the court, Jani was the quickest to pick up on how to pick apart that 1-3-1. Now, granted, I'm sure you practice it going into a game against any Kermit Davis team, which this is probably the last year you have to prep for something like that. Another story for another time, right? But I thought that out of all of the members of the Auburn team, I thought he looked the most prepared to pick apart that 1-3-1. Now, granted, big man gets to hang out by the bucket, but his ability to cut and make people just kind of like not realize where he is on the floor, despite his ginormous stature, is truly remarkable. And I thought he did a great job last night, really taking care of business in Oxford on that front, as did Wendell Green Jr. Stat line for Wendell Green Jr. before I cut you loose here, Dylan. I know that you're excited about this one. 23 points, 3 steals, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 32 minutes played, 5 for 15 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. And he only turned the ball over twice last night, which is a great stat line for Wendell.
I mean, you just talk about just turnovers in general. It was a great stat for the entire team, only having 10. Which, I mean, we're not far along from when Auburn was having 2015 plus turnover nights. But yeah, Wendell Green having only 2 turnovers is amazing. And especially when he had 23 points, shooting 11 of 11 from the free throw line. I know you mentioned it earlier, just he gets to the free throw line more than anybody in the SEC. And I think that's huge. I mean, Auburn was not shooting well from the free throw line a few weeks ago. And I got to keep saying a few weeks ago because the amount of improvement this Auburn team has seen in the past 3 weeks has been outstanding. And it's all because of Wendell Green. I mean, no one – I know Jahni Broome is that dude. He is him because he just double-double Jahni Broome.
Him and Neutron, you might say.
But the guy getting him the ball the majority of the time is Wendell Green. A great point guard needs a great center, and these two are one of the best duos in – the SEC right now. And I know we talked about like having a 7 assists. I mean, I'd like to see the stat line of how many of those are to Jahni Broome, because their pick and roll that they have going on is outstanding.
It's saucy.
I can say that about anybody on the team with Jahni Broome, because all you gotta do is just call an ISO, then call a screen, and then, you know, who's going to cover Jahni Broome?
Not me. So
well, of course.
Things Wendell's doing better this year than last year, and better from the beginning of this season. First off, shot selection is light years better. It's night and day. I know that you want him taking shots. Sometimes I really don't mind a logo win every now and again. Sometimes you got to find out. I get it. I mean, I do it in pickup all the time. So who am I to tell him he's wrong? No, but I think his shot selection's much improved. Limiting turnovers in large, but I mean, he's not gotten help on screens at some times this year, which is not all his fault. There's been lots of offensive lapses, and a lot of times he's just trying to make a play on offense, and sometimes that happens, especially when nobody else on the floor wants to score. I think vocally he's been a vocal court general more so than last year. He definitely was last year, but this is his team. There's no – Jabari Smith's not walking back on that court. Walker Kessler's not walking back on that court. This is his team, and I think that really the identity is – follow Wendell's lead. Not that I don't necessarily think Wendell's the best player talent wise. I think it's probably still Jahni Broome, and I think you'd probably agree on the floor right now. But I think that his vocal leadership abilities and the fact that he plays the one, that has a lot to do with it. But have really improved from last year, and that's a giant step in the right direction for Auburn. In terms of the bigger picture, Dylan, I'm just curious to get your thoughts here. I think we were talking that Auburn could contend in the SEC before the season started. And then once the season kind of got off, we were like, okay, Auburn's probably going to be like top 5 in the SEC, maybe if they fight well. I'm starting to think, you know, you got to throw out that loss to Georgia. It's going to count on the SEC record. There's nothing you can do about it. But I am starting to think that top 4, top 3 feels plausible. You took down Arkansas, which is big. You still got to tango with Bama and Tennessee twice each, unfortunately, for Auburn. Just not a good draw. And then I think we all kind of agree Kentucky is lost right now. So and people are watching this podcast because they came to watch Kentucky, so I'm glad I said it finally. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I think that I don't think Auburn's out of it yet.
I don't think you're wrong at all. I think that if Auburn, we talked about it a little bit last night during the game, we weren't having the best of times in the first half. I think the thing that's struggling the most with this team that could prevent Auburn from being a real contender in the SEC is the fact that they don't know how to put away their opponents. they don't know how to out-talent the teams that they're playing. I mean, we only beat Ole Miss by, 9 points last night?
It should have been 10, but yeah.
But, I mean, Ole Miss is, according to, I know it's early in the season, but they're the 14th team in the SEC. And if you don't know how many teams are in the SEC, it's 14. And with Auburn being as talented and as, I'm going to say, hyped up as they are, Auburn should be putting away teams like Georgia and Ole Miss. And I know you said the Georgia record, Georgia score is probably going to be still going to count towards the SEC record, and maybe Auburn shown outstanding improvement since that Georgia game. But the fact of the matter is, this team still has those moments in their game where the offense is just not there. And some of that could be whenever Janai or Wendell are not on the court. But that's just what Auburn needs to find. I mean, Alan Flanagan has stepped up, but who else is going to step up to get Auburn contending for the SEC? I mean, top four is fine, but can we beat Arkansas again? Because what, our next time we play Arkansas, is it in Fayetteville?
Don't have to play them twice this year. That's a good part of the scheduling.
If you
face Arkansas this year, it'll be in the SEC tournament, which is 100% in Auburn's favor.
But, yeah, I mean, this team still has glimpses of Auburn of the earlier part of the season where the offense is just not there. So, and the defense can step up, and the defense does step up. But the fact of the matter is that this team is not the Auburn of yesteryear. This is not a team where you can get just like 20-point games from both Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler. And you don't have the same KD Johnson you had last year. I think the regression of KD Johnson really hurts this team. Because after Wendell Green, after Alan Flanagan, who's your scoring option from the backcourt? I mean, you can't trust Zeb Jasper. Zeb Jasper's been shooting better. I'll give him that. But he does shoot around 2 shots a game.
Trey Donaldson's cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, Trey Donaldson, his microwave has been unplugged. KD Johnson, you don't know what KD you're getting this today. I mean, you're either going to get a KD who's going to be shooting 0-for-6, or you're going to get a guy who's going to be shooting 2-for-5, and it doesn't really understand that. Is KD's a point guard, correct?
More a 2 guard, but
he plays a shooting guard, but he is like the height and frame of a point guard.
He's a college guard. I don't really know where else to put it.
But Trey Donaldson's probably the only one out of, I don't want to say the only one out of the three, but I think that Zepp, and I think Trey Donaldson can definitely run the offense better than KD or Zepp could. But sure. Since Trey Donaldson has been getting, I don't want to say he's been getting fewer minutes, but he's been more hesitant to try and score while he's on the court. I mean, last night he had 0 points on 8 minutes, and that's not something you want to see from your guard, especially a guy you're expecting to like go in right to give Wendell Green a little bit of a break. And whenever you have like a Dylan Cardwell, I love Dylan Cardwell, but when you have Dylan Cardwell and Trey Donaldson in, Auburn doesn't really know who to go to, and you're just banking on, please let the Alan Flanagan games just keep going. Like, don't let it stop, because if you don't have Alan Flanagan on the court without Wendell Green or Janai Broome, who's your scoring threat? If you could stop Alan Flanagan, no one on this bench can take up the points that Jalen Williams, Janai Broome, Wendell Green, or Alan Flanagan. Like, there's no consistent scorers on this bench besides Alan Flanagan.
I think that I guess to summarize what you just said, tell me if I'm wrong here, but what you're saying here is bench depth has to get better on the offensive end of the floor, and I think you're completely right. There's certainly a ton of room for Auburn to continue to improve. I mean, there's a lot of room. I think there's a large gap between them and the Alabamas, the Tennessees, and even Arkansas's. Of the SEC. Let's not forget that Arkansas was down their 2 best players when Auburn beat them at home. Don't get me wrong, great win for Auburn, but
and Kentucky would have won if Ty wasn't hurt. We've heard it before.
Listen, it's not quite that degree. Kentucky is down bad this year. That's unarguable. But guard play is going to continue to be a point of focus, and depth is going to continue to be a point of focus as Auburn goes into their home matchup this weekend with Mississippi State. I am certain and confident that I will be discussing that on Friday with one Lindsey Crosby. But Dylan, right now, that's about all we've got for today. So let everybody know where they can find you. Look your stuff up. Love you. Give you all the support where you're at.
Well, if you look right below my name, if you're watching the video, that's my Twitter account, @YourBoyTheTank. That is boy with an I. And you can also find me on the College Loop podcast, which we'll also be recording today. So, Mr. Tarr, please drink your water to get your throat all unraspy. And, I mean, follow me at the College Loop on Twitter as well. You can get my very funny sense of humor that you'll see on my Twitter accounts. And the College Loop is everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Twitter. So, yeah, just follow me on all those places.
Dylan will be the first one to tell you about how funny he is. I am Harrison Tarr of the Auburn Daily, our women's basketball and softball lead writer for both of those. So that's a lot of fun. Be catching my byline at the Auburn Daily a lot this year. You can check out my prior work and Tarr's takes on theauburndaily.com. My Twitter handle is at @byHarrisonTarr. And like Dylan said, anything that has to do with the College Loop, Like Dylan said, anything that has the College Loop handle attached to it, I either begged Dylan to make it for us or I did it as well. So you can check us out there, and we certainly appreciate that. We'll be recording this evening, talking more hoops, talking women's gymnastics, and talking some more freeze warnings in Auburn, Alabama. So thank you guys so much for listening to the Auburn Daily Show. We will see you same place, same time tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.